This podcast is brought to you by the World Apostolate to Fatima USA, a public association of the faithful devoted to spreading the authentic message of Fatima.
Hello, my name is David Carollo, the Executive Director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, Our Lady's Blue Army, and welcome to this podcast. We invite you to join our group for these weekly programs produced to bring about a better understanding of Our Lady's message of hope given at Fatima 101 years ago. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Our Lady of Fatima,
pray for us.
There is a new energy out there. The Fatima Centennial is over. The 2 years of commemoration and celebration now lead us to this new era in our work. This is to promote the mission which was started by the three seers in Fatima. This is the work to bring as many people as possible to sanctify their lives through prayer and sacrifice. This is the work of continuing the commission given by our Lord at Calvary. Joining me today are Patrick Sabat, who leads the Pilgrim Virgin Statue Program, as well as producing such things as these podcasts, and Barb Bernster, our Director of Communications. Welcome, Patrick and Barb.
Well, thank you, Dave, for having us.
Well, thank you.
Such a
welcome to all. Yeah. It's our first podcast. We are so happy. It's such an honor and privilege to be on the show with you, Dave, of course. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you, too. I mean, we are a team here. People don't see. Sometimes they see one person or two people out there. Don't realize the team effort, everything we do really is. And it's so very important, you know. We're here at the Shrine in New Jersey. Everybody is gearing up for Sunday, of course, you know, May 13th. It's the kickoff. It's our big event. And, of course, we will have we'll start with our confessions at 10:30 in the morning, and 11 o'clock actually, and then at 12 o'clock the rosary procession. After that, we have a very special event this Sunday, because this, of course, is our first event of the year, of the 101st anniversary or 101st. Year of Our Lady's Messages, and we're going to have a very special tribute on Sunday to someone who's such a great friend of this apostolate for so many years, Father Andrew Apostoli. Of course, people know he passed away on December 13th, and it's special because he was always here on May 13th. And even last year, despite his illness, he was here four times. He was here on May 13th. He was here in July again to celebrate. We had a special thing for his 50th ordination anniversary. He was here for Padre Pio Day, and he was here on October 13th, the 100th anniversary of the miracle of the sun. How appropriate he would be with us. And he died 2 months of the day after that. So we're going to have a special tribute to Father Andrew, and the speakers, and most of the people have many of the priests from the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal will be here. The tradition with the Franciscan Friars goes back here with the Blue Army for many years. Father Benedict Rochelle would be out here a lot. He would bring out many of the seminarians. They all remember coming out on their retreats throughout the years. Many of them are priests, of course, and sisters today. And so we have a good number of them coming.
Yeah,
of course, our main celebrant will be Bishop James Checchio, who is, of course, the ordinary of this diocese of Metuchen, and really a great friend to the apostolate. So we look forward to a big day. We pray for good weather.
Dave, what is the weather supposed to be out there this year?
I think it's going to be okay. It always gives you percentages. It may be a 25% or 30% chance of rain. Well, if it rains at 5 in the afternoon, we don't care. Or if it rains at 4 in the morning, we don't care. But remember, last May 13th, we wanted this great day with perfect weather. And we had a day where it rained like the end of the world from midnight until midnight. It never stopped. But, you know, despite that, we had maybe 7,500 people here for the celebration, the 100th anniversary celebration of Fatima. So the faith, I saw so much faith that day. It really, it rekindled me a lot. I have to say, I was so impressed and so edified.
Yeah, this is probably, you know, you mentioned, it's very interesting. You mentioned the new energy in the apostolate even today, you know, yeah. as we begin the 101 years of Our Lady's apparition. And it's, to me, it's also, it's very, very interesting that the energy, you know, you mentioned again the seminarians coming in, new priests and religious, and a lot of people have signed up our pledge, you know, during our centennial tour. And some of them, even in the New Jersey area where our beautiful shrine is located, you know, they said, you know, they're going to come this year, you know, even if the centennial anniversary is over. But this is such a new season, like you said, for Fatima.
Yeah.
I think this was a year, too, where many, many people learned about Fatima last year. And it seems like this year, people understand they're coming to a time in our world where they have to make a choice. And I really believe that many, many people are taking this message to heart, and they're understanding Our Lady is with us during this time. And everything she told us at Fatima has come true or is coming true, and she's with us on this earth and helping us out during this time.
That's right. That's right. And that's what she does. That is why she comes. Okay. People don't really have to understand why there are Marian apparitions. Okay. Our Lady comes as a messenger. She comes to save us. It's the mercy of God. This is what brings her here, what brought her. I mean, you know, she's fulfilled her duty. Okay. You know, I mean, she is in the highest place of heaven. And so, but she comes as an emissary for our Lord, who wants us to share in that, okay? This is why it is so important. This is why we have to understand what is the reasoning behind. I mean, people, I don't like doom and gloom. It drives me a little bit crazy, because then you find a lot of that within an apostolate like this. There's no doubt about it. And that's a shame, because Fatima is a message of hope, okay? It's a message of hope and of clarity. It gives us the clarity, Our Lady gives us the clarity, I should say, to show us what God wants. And that's why why she came. It's why our apostolate exists. And I think it goes into what is the purpose. I think referring back to our founder, John Hafford, when he had his audience with Sister Lucia back in, was it 1946, I believe, and when the apostolate was founded. And he asked Sister Lucia, you know, he wanted to know exactly what Our Lady wanted of people, of particularly laity, because we're laity, it's an organization of laity. And all of these terrible things that already happened, you know, that she had warned, Russia had spread her errors, World War II had happened. But, you know, so far at that point, nations had not been annihilated, but to some degree they really had been. I mean, maybe not in the way we were looking at it. But he really, really felt that what she would want is for us to pray the rosary, and certainly she did want us to pray, and particularly the rosary. But what was the essence of it, she said, is that one statement, are you willing? Are you willing to offer your lives in prayer and reparation? To keep, you know, pray for the for your reparation and for the conversion of sinners. This is what she stressed with him, and that was the basis of our apostolate. That was the basis of the pledge which he worked out with her, and that we believe 20 million people signed in these 71 years. Don't know exactly the numbers. So it is it is very simple, because God came to three simple children, okay? Come to me as a little child, he said, you know, when he was on earth. And because, you know, children don't have a filter, for one, as we all know, some of the things they say. But it's because they have an innocence. They don't have they don't have to think things out. When she said, are you willing to offer your lives, they didn't hesitate, okay, and say, well, I have to see what's going on, check this, check that, you know. No, they just said yes, and that was it, okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what she's looking for in all of us. That's right. What God wants of us.
And Lucia said this was the essential part of the message of Fatima. Many people think it was the rosary, but she said this is the request that she made that conveyed to people that they are supposed to sanctify their daily duty, that, you know, to follow God's will every day is what was most important.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Praying the rosary helped support the sanctification of daily duty. And so this was a very important lesson for the children. Lucia would say later they had no idea what they were saying yes to, but Our Lady said to them right afterwards, then you will have much to suffer, but the grace of God will be your comfort. And I find it interesting that she hits them with this question, after they'd had the experiences with the Angel of Peace the year before, where they had such a supernatural experience of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, to the point where these children, after they experienced the angel's presence and their first communion given to them by him, they could hardly stand up. They were kind of woozy from this experience.
Sure.
And so they had already learned how to adore Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. And they understood who God was because of that. And then Our Lady comes to them and says, are you willing to offer yourself to him every day? So I think that's very significant.
Yeah, it's such a significant time for them, you know, for this May 13th. Also, it's very appropriate for us to be talking about this. It's such a segue in preparation for, you know, the coming apparitions of Our Lady, so to speak, because she appeared to them on May 13th. You know, since day one, she asked them, are you willing? And then come back here on every 13th day of each month, you know, until October, I will tell you what I want. But she already laid it out for them, the simple kids, the simple solution to our problems, the simple question with a simple answer. And to me, I think Our Lady is asking us the same question, you know, are you willing? You know, she emphasized the daily duties, you know, according to one state in life, and the sanctification of this effort in reparation for sins and the conversion of sinners. So May 13 is such a big day for us, a big day for Fatima. And like we said, it's a new season for Fatima. We do not stop like, okay, I said yes when I was, you know, baptized, or I converted to Catholicism. I said yes when I gave this up during Lent, but it's a, you know, it's a perpetual yes, so to speak. Her yes, her fiat, the fiat of Mary, is also echoing even today, you know, as we imitate yes. her virtues.
Yeah, yeah, it's very true. It's very, very much. Yeah, we have a they recognize so much this well, obviously the essence of the Eucharist. Okay, I mean, who could truly contemplate what the Eucharist really is? But that's why, I mean, the two prayers, two of the Fatima prayers that always stay with me are certainly the pardon prayer, because to me that's our mission statement. You know, my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. And that one, but then when we really get into the Eucharistic prayer, O Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore thee profoundly, and I offer thee the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world in reparation. Now, you know, you see, these are the things, you know, they had such a great understanding. I mean, they had such a depth of understanding of the Eucharist. And so we speak of three illiterate children. They may have been illiterate. They may have been uneducated, but they had knowledge beyond what most of us probably will ever have in our lifetime. And that was because of the visit of the angel in 1916.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I like the fact that these prayers are so simple, but they're such deeply held prayers that you pray with your heart. And they're simple little prayers, but our Lord obviously wanted them, because he had the angel come and teach them. And Mary taught them further with these simple little prayers. And I find myself saying them frequently throughout the day. It helps me to have a spirit of recollection, where you're bringing God into your daily life, and especially the pardon prayer, where you can just stop and say that prayer. You're acknowledging God during the day in the midst of so many other things going on, at a time when so many people are not acknowledging him at all. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's a form of showing my love for him and Our Lady, just in a simple little way. And I think that's what she wanted from us. She wanted the simplicity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what fascinates me also with this simple children from Fatima is they're, you know, they're not saints because they saw Our Lady and the angel of peace in the Cova de Iria. They became saints because they developed such a tremendous love for God and the Eucharist, basically. You know, they develop virtues, and, you know, heroic virtues, to that matter.
Sure.
And, you know, they revered, they respected the Lord, and, you know, and they made reparation for the conversion of sinners. And, you know, even the angel of peace, when he appeared to them, you know, especially the third apparition and the 13th day of May, you know, I think the mission is to lead us to God. You know, when you say you are willing, when you say you yes to the Eucharist, you know, Bishop Sheen spoke of the Blessed Mother fondly, and he said the first person in line for communion was Mary when she said fiat, when she said yes to that most precious body, blood, soul,
sure,
and divinity of our Lord. And I think the children understood that same way, you know, when they said yes to Our Lady that day on May 13th.
Yeah, I agree. That really is it. The simple yes. The children, I mean, Our Lady was how old? What do they think? 14, maybe? I don't know. What is the age they say Our Blessed Mother was?
I think they thought she was about 18.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, okay. I've heard anything from 14 to 18 or 20, but whatever. Still in a simple part of life, okay, mm-hmm. You know, especially. And it was less complicated, okay? But less complicated because that's the way their lives were, too. You know, we complicate the lives of our children today as we complicate our own lives. It's our society the way it is, obviously. But we live in a very complicated era.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much noise out there. When there's so much noise, you don't hear God speaking. And that's what has happened, unfortunately, in our world.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But John Hafford made a beautiful observation when I think she asked Lucia this question, you know, when the children were so close to Our Lady, you know, it's like, you know, a few feet away, you know. I think he was asking, did she seem real to Lucia, or was she like a spirit, or you know, made of light? And I think John, in his observation, he said she seemed so real to them that they did not at first think she was from heaven. You know, Lucia said, despite the great light, they thought she was a person from somewhere around the country whom they had never seen before. Our Lady's body and soul in heaven, but she herself was really present before the children. So I think, you know, the beauty of Our Lady, you know, celestial, you know, almost divine, you know, because she participated and cooperated in the will of God the Father, and of course carrying her motherhood, which speaking of which, on May 13th, Sunday, we celebrate Mother's Day. So we celebrate Mary as the mother of our Lord and the mother of us all also.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for, a big day here at the Shrine. Mother's Day, the 13th, the first event of the year, and hopefully no rain. That's what we want, and we'll have a good day. And for those who really can't be here, I mean, we're located, 50 miles west of New York here in western New Jersey. For those who can come here, it's a beautiful experience to be part of this. But if you can't, you can watch us on our webcam. This is why this was installed. You can go on the website and hit the you know, follow, you know, navigate. Patrick, you can direct them a little more to that, or Barb, and watch what's going on. It would be a beautiful day. The day starts with, again, as I said, with the confessions, with the rosary procession at 12 noon, followed by a talk. And the talk this Sunday will be given by one of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal in honor of Father Apostoli and his visits here on May 13th always. And then, of course, at 1:15 is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and Bishop Cecchio will be the main celebrant. Afterwards, we have the Eucharistic procession, and then we have the enrollment in the Brown Scapular, the blessing of religious articles, and then we end the day with the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. I mean, it is a very full and beautiful day, and I think that it's the essence of our apostolate. It's the essence of the Shrine, okay? And this year, we're celebrating something special here too, and that is the 40th anniversary of the building of the Shrine here. So, of course, the apostolate and all events have been going on for 70 years since the founding of the apostolate right here in this property. But it was 40 years ago that the big main shrine was built, and I think we're celebrating that as well as the 45th anniversary of the building of the Holy House. And our Holy House Chapel is a very special place. Of course, that is a duplicate of the Holy House of Loreto, the home of the Holy Family, and it carries by the indult of the rector of the shrine of Loreto in Italy. This carries the same indulgence for those who visit it. So it's a very special place, and we have many treasures here. But the greatest treasures we have here, the greatest treasure, I should say, is the faith of the people who come and really do give great homage to Our Lady on these special days. And there are many miracles that happen here. I love when people say, have there been any miracles up there? Well, I say, yeah, there's probably more than we could count. We don't know what they are necessarily, but we do know of one miracle that happens here every day, and that is when at the Mass, when Father elevates that host and he turns that bread into the body and blood of Christ. That's the miracle. That's the real miracle. But the others that happen in the hearts of people, I think, are very numerous. We're very blessed to be part of something here in our apostolate around the country. And Patrick, I want to ask you if you can touch a little bit on the statue program, the Pilgrim Virgin statue program, how it's going, where the particular statues are at, and just a little bit on the schedule for the year.
Absolutely, yeah. We have so much momentum behind us, you know, for the 100 years. And I'd like to also tell you that our RV will be back on the road pretty soon. And with the International Pilgrim Virgin statue, we are solidly booked all throughout the year 2018. We'll be in South Dakota. We'll be in Gary, Indiana. We'll be in Kansas and Rockford in September, Washington, D.C. in October, and of course, that's in the Maryland area, and then Dallas and Houston ending in November and December. And of course, for the National Pilgrim Virgin statue, we'll be in Buffalo, New York, we'll be in Ohio and other places. We're still, we're getting all the letters as we speak, including the Immaculate Heart statue, which is at this point concentrating in the West Coast. We'll be in Baker and Seattle, Oregon. We'll be in San Bernardino in August, and San Jose this month of May in California. So many requests, and so we are continuing our tour for peace, our tour with the Blessed Mother, spreading the great message, you know, this timeless message of hope, the message of peace. And of course, so many things are happening. We have requests, even individually, for even without statues, we're being invited to speak in some other events, talking about the message of Our Lady. So, yes, there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of even new people, new dioceses. We have visited, I think it must have been 145 dioceses we visited for the Centennial Tour, and we are adding more to that. We only have, I think, 194, 95 in the whole of the United States. So we'd
there's
like
195,
to,
I believe, and that includes the Byzantine diocese. Mm-hmm.
So we'd like to really finish it off and go back to those, because sometimes the diocese is so big, you know, we don't have a lot of time. But this time we're doing a little different format. The Centennial, we're doing, you know, 2 to 3 weeks in a diocese, maybe neighboring dioceses to cover it up. It's a lot better that way. People could come in because they're coming in like they do a pilgrimage. You know, they want to complete nine sets of parishes, or, you know, 13 parishes in the diocese, something like that. Right. So they're coming, and they would like to see this beautiful statue that we have, and the mission and the program that comes with it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's great. Yeah. And I think that really is the foundation of our outreach. We certainly work. We have divisions throughout the country, and we work with our divisions, and we work in places where we don't have divisions. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what's necessary. But the idea is to bring the message throughout the country. Mm-hmm. We're bringing our Centennial Tour for Peace is what we called it. Mm-hmm. And you know, keep in mind, peace is not necessarily just the absence of war, okay? You know, true peace in the heart is something that comes from compliance with the will of God, all right? Mm-hmm. And that is really what we have to understand. Our Lady came in 1917, of course, And she, this was, of course, during World War One, as we all know. And what'd she say? I bring a peace plan from heaven. Okay. Well, certainly. I mean, and of course, people look at it in the physical peace. And of course, that's exactly what she was talking about. But it was a peace plan from heaven. And what is the peace plan from heaven? You first need peace in your heart before you can have peace in society. Okay. You know, where there is God, there is peace and serenity. Okay. Where the farther away you get from God, there is chaos and hatred. I mean, that's just how it works. And so she was telling us, come closer to God, reflect God in your actions. And of course, as of course she does, and you will have peace, and you will have serenity, and you will have flourishing societies. I mean, look at the deterioration of society all around us, and also look at the deterioration of the laws of God, or I should say the absence of the law of compliance with the laws of God. This is where we are today. This is a very simple message, a Fatima message. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out. It's right there in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but, and I think that's what we have to do. You know.
Yeah, certainly we have a lot of things to cover. We don't have a whole lot of time to discuss everything, but I got to tell you, this is good news for everybody, even though this is just one podcast, but there's so many more coming. And I hope our listeners will stay tuned and subscribe. It's coming up.
Sure.
You could, actually, we're live on Google Play. We're live on iTunes. We're live on Stitcher. You could listen to us on your iPhone, on your Android device. So go to BlueArmy.com and click on the Blue Army podcast, and you'll learn more on how we deliver this great message of hope, the peace plan from heaven, as Dave is talking about. And if you are kind of intrigued of what it really meant, stay tuned and subscribe and hit that button, and you'll receive it in your inbox, or even your iPhone will notify you if we're doing a new episode. So I'd like to encourage them. You know, it's edifying to see what's going on around us, you know, not focusing on the negative or the bad news or what's going on in the world, but what we can do and what we can do to help promote the message.
Just remember, St. Paul said it all. We're going to win. Okay,
exactly.
That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
We're going to win. It's at the end. We're going to come out on top. And what Our Lady said, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph.
Okay? Right,
and it will. And we have to bring this about, you know. And we have so many things. And I know we could go on for quite a long time and talk about all of our initiatives. And of course, Barb, you know, you handle a lot of that. Our Spanish outreach, where it's standing. Our many resources that are available on our website. And of course, you're here at BlueArmy.com, and it does give you direction to, you know, even for those who hear something and they want to participate more, they can go right on and sign the pledge and become a member. Please join us. So we more the merrier here.
I'd also like to encourage people to sign up to get our email update. We have a First Saturday bulletin we put out every month.
Yes.
And it's a great way to remind you that a First Saturday is coming up. We always have a really nice reflection in that bulletin, and then we're going to start sending out our podcasts by email. And we have a lot of blogs, number of great writers that participate on our blog, and it's a way to just read another short little reflection on that helps define more of the Fatima mystery and what's going on with this message. It just helps draw you deeper and deeper into that devotion to the Immaculate Heart, which was the key message of Fatima that our Lord wanted established. So I just encourage people to look at our blog and read our articles, sign up to get our email, follow us and check out our Shrine webcam on Sunday. I'll get it up on the website, so there'll be a button right up front. You can see where to click on to watch the Shrine events live.
It's been great having you both on with me tonight, and I'm glad I think we have a nice kickoff here for this initiative. And please remember, Sunday is the first apparition of Our Lady, and first for the year. It's a commemoration of the first apparition of Our Lady. And again, just remember, are you willing? That's all she asks, and be willing to follow what she wants, and you will find that happiness, and you'll find that peace that's out there. So let's close with a prayer if we can, right?
And I want to say Happy Mother's Day again to everybody.
Yes, and Happy Mother's Day to all. Yes, please. And if all the beautiful mothers out there that, and of course, our Heavenly Mother is the one that we follow. So, yes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless everyone.
God bless you. Thank you.